Pues.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Over the last few months, we've been teaching a series entitled, Does It Really Take a Village to Raise a Child? That's based on the Hillary Clinton 1996 book, It Takes a Village. But we know from the Bible that God created families to raise children. Created families before there was the civil government, before there was a village, before there were social agencies, before there was even the church. He created the family as the very first and most important institution in society, the building block, and really the source of nurture and in care for children. We've also read, not only for children, but also families do an excellent job of taking care of their seniors as well, or at least should do an excellent job of that. We have also looked at government policies that actually discriminate against families, that lead to poverty. Government policies like welfare for the African-American community have just decimated the family, have said, well, the government came in and said, we'll give money if you don't have a husband in the home. If there's not a father in the home, we'll give you money. And what is the result of that? Really, we've seen fatherlessness, or fathers, or homes growing up, children growing up without fathers, the percentage of those rising in the Black community all the way up to 75%. This is a travesty. It's something we have to realize. I mean, you know, I think it was Einstein that said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, there's a certain party, political party, that actually wants to say, well, the problem is we need more welfare. We need more help. We want to support you. Well, what they mean is we're gonna take money, more money from other people and give it to you. They don't mean that they're going to actually change their idiotic policies that have created the problem that we have in this nation. We've also looked at how our border policy has actually encouraged people to actually send their kids unaccompanied minors, sometimes being dropped over the wall, too young to care for themselves. We've seen children being kidnapped in Central American countries because the adults that were kidnapping them believe they have a better chance of getting into America. We also know that once illegals are in this country, that many, very often, they're afraid to report crimes to the law, to law enforcement, so they actually are taken advantage of. So this is we need to actually look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. And you can look at the previous sermons on our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and see those. We also have seen that the defunding the police movement hasn't worked. And actually, we've seen even kids being gunned down in neighborhoods, sometimes right even in front of their home, being gunned down. Why? Because thugs know that the police weren't on the streets to enforce the law. There's been fewer police officers. We've even seen prosecutors not prosecuting. But we've talked about criminal justice reform. Criminal justice does need to be reformed. And, you know, it's amazing in many of these cities where they have these big defunding the police movements, it's actually illegal to carry a gun to protect yourself. So now you not only, you no longer even have the police showing up and, you know, after the fact, after it's too late to protect you, you can't protect yourself, and the police aren't even going to show up even after it's too late to protect you. And, you know, sometimes when the police do show up, the prosecutors, and when the police do make arrests, the prosecutors refuse to prosecute. We also, though, are looking at criminal justice reform, because there are a lot of men, and in fact, even a lot of African-American men that are in jail and in prison right now that should not be in jail and prison. The biblical, and by the way, the solution is not just to let them out. The solution is not just to say, well, we're going to actually, stop putting people in jail, because if we don't put people in jail, then they won't commit crimes. Well, that doesn't work. We have to actually reform our judicial system and look at the Word of God to do that. You see, the Bible speaks to every area of life, not only your personal life, but also your family, and also your church, and also your city, your county, your state, your nation, and even all the nations of the earth. We've talked about how the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, God says, what great nation is there who has God so near to it and has the Lord that is given these righteous standards and righteous judgments? You see, the Israelites were to be a sort of like a city set upon a hill. And by the way, the Puritans took that phrase, a city set upon a hill, and they believed that they were to be a city set upon a hill, to be a shining example of applying biblical principles to God's government. They didn't get it all the way right, but they did a much better job than previous generations had done and previous countries had done. Our founding fathers didn't get everything right, but they did a better job than previous generations. The solution is not just to scrap what we have. We have to replace it with a biblical system. We know also when the children of Israel were coming into Canaan, the Canaan land, God warned them in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. You can read those passages. God says, do not commit these sins. He lists several sins. Most of them are sexual. You have incestual relationships. You also have bestiality, homosexuality, adultery, and child sacrifice listed there. And he says, don't commit these sins, because of these sins, the land is polluted. The Canaanites have been committing these sins. And because they've been committing these sins, the land is vomiting them forth. And if you commit these sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. So those passages show us that God dealt with Israel the same way he dealt with the children, the Canaanites, by the same standard. Now, it's by the same standard, except that Israel was dealt with more severely, because Israel had the law of God. They had the Word of God. They had the ability to know what God wanted them to do, and to know how they should live, how they should act, and what laws they should have and what laws they should follow. And they had righteous and perfect statutes. We know, though, so they were held to a higher standard. Today, we have that same ability, even though we weren't Israel. We didn't hear God speak the Ten Commandments like Israel did in Exodus 20. But we do have those words translated into our own language, and we can read the Bible freely, and we should be reading the Bible. You should be reading the Bible. You know, if you don't know what God says about government, how government should act, what laws we should have, what they shouldn't. Get into the Word of God. Read the Bible. Devour it. We're supposed to hunger for His Word as we do for our necessary food, and thirst for His Spirit as a deer pants for the water brook. We are supposed to thirst for the Spirit of God. We're supposed to want more and more of Him, and we need to be reading the Bible. You know, the Bible needs to have a bigger influence in your life than television does, than movies do, than books do, than the newspaper do, or news that you read on the internet, or a YouTube video, or a TikTok video, or an Instagram post, or a Facebook post. The Word of God needs to be the bedrock. You need to have a biblical worldview. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 that He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We have talked, and I'm just going to quickly review, and you can look at the sermons from past weeks to see this, but we talked that the Word of God actually teaches restitution and actually teaches responsibility, personal responsibility. In fact, the law of God teaches personal responsibility for one's own actions, and it restores the victim, or in the case of murder, punishes the perpetrator to such an extent that other people would see and fear and not commit those same sins. So murder would be less likely because the murderer would actually be put to death. And even in the case of manslaughter, where there was an accidental death, the person needed to go and live in one of these sanctuary cities or a city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Now, one thing we didn't go over and didn't talk about in that sermon is you might wonder, well, how long would the high priest live? Well, first of all, the high priest would not have taken office earlier than 30 years and probably would be older than that when he actually became the high priest. But the high priest, if you remember at the time this was written, how old people were and how old people lived. I mean, people didn't at that time live still hundreds of years. But you had Caleb at 80 years old, saying that he was as strong for war as he was when he was a young man. So an 80-year-old, I mean, think, if you're listening to this and you're 80 or older or maybe approaching that, maybe you're even 40 and you're saying, well, you know, I'm pretty worn out. I've heard a lot of people that are 40 that are saying they're worn out. Well, at 80 years old, he said he was as strong for war as when he was a young man. And he actually went up and took a mountain and possessed that mountain, and as a result, he was able to win the heart. He was able to marry actually a woman. That was the prize, was taking the mountain. Moses died at 120. Now, Moses actually died prior to when he ordinarily would have died, but he died at 120, and he could have actually lived longer than that. But this was something that just to give you an idea of how long someone would have lived. And you know, after the flood, God said He would limit life to 120 years. So we don't know exactly how long the high priest would have been serving at the time a man, you know, manslayer would have killed someone accidentally, but it was a significant punishment even to accidentally kill someone. And that was the only example, actually, of jail, or what would have been similar to jail would be in the case of manslaying. We also see from Exodus 22, not only restitution, and not just single restitution, but at least twofold, sometimes four and fivefold, depending on what was stolen. But we also see that citizens, people were allowed to defend themselves, to defend their property, to defend their families. We talked about murder and manslaying and how the people would actually, the murderer would be put to death. And by the way, there are some people that believe that it's not pro-life to put a murderer to death, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, when Noah is coming off the ark, God institutes the death penalty to protect innocent human life. We also see that the law of God was given and was read to the people that they may see and fear, that they may learn to fear the Lord, and that the death penalty, there's actually, I believe, three times that the law of God mentions that the death penalty was enforced and enacted so that people may see and fear. By the way, the death penalty was not only enforced for murder, but was also enforced for kidnapping. So the black Muslims that kidnapped blacks in Africa and sold them as slaves biblically should have been put to death. And by the way, that's what happened when the second slave ship came to America. The pilgrims actually prosecuted the slave traders and released the slaves. You probably haven't heard about that unless you've listened to our sermons or have listened to David Barton from Wall Builders. But the death penalty was also put in place for rape. You would certainly see a lot less rape if we had the death penalty. We also see that the law of God protects the innocent who are accused of doing something they didn't do by punishing false witnesses based on the same penalty that would have been placed on the person who falsely accused. In other words, if someone stole something and someone said, you did it and you didn't do it, then you would, if you were convicted, you would have had to make 2, 4, 5 times restitution. Well, that false witness, careful inquiry would be made. And if it was determined that that witness was false, that witness would actually have to make the restitution. If the witness had said you murdered someone, well, that witness would actually be put to death. So you see protection in the law of God. You also see protection, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This was designed to protect, to make it unlikely and something that you wouldn't want to lose your eye, right? So don't put out someone else's eye, because if you put out someone else's eye, then your eye is going to be put out. Well, that is a deterrent to actually putting out someone else's eye or taking off someone's ear or stabbing someone. Well, you wouldn't want that to happen to you. And of course, Jesus in the New Testament talks about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. So you wouldn't want someone to gouge your eye out or castrate you. So why would you do that to someone else? We also see even protection for even slaves. And as we talked about our servants, as we talked about the type of slaves that they're talking about here, it's not where someone was kidnapped and sold as a slave. It's where the slave actually sold himself or herself to a master and became a bond servant or became a servant and would serve for up to 6 years. The slave would actually receive money, would actually be able to use that money to pay off debt, to be able to pay his debts. And obviously you would only want to do this if it was your only option. But if you were in dire straits, you could do this and then you would serve. Well, a master, if he gouged out the eye of his servant or harmed his servant, the servant would go free. The master had paid money. He wouldn't want to actually lose that money. He paid money for a certain period of service. So it does even protect people that are slaves, that are voluntary slaves. One of the things that we see, and we're actually going to going to look a little bit further at this passage in Exodus chapter 21. We read the first part of it last week, and what we actually talked about, you know, if men are fighting, they hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according to as the woman's husband imposes on him, he shall pay as the judges determine. And what you see here is two men fighting, a woman who's pregnant being hurt, and no harm falling. That means that the woman's okay, the woman lives, the child lives, there's no serious damage. Well, there still would be a penalty. But if harm follows, then you shall give life for life. In other words, if someone dies, if the preborn baby dies, if the mother dies, then the person should be put to death. The person who killed the other person should be put to death. You also see that your eyes should not pity. You should actually punish him. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. In other words, if you do something, if you harm someone's life, you will have that same thing come upon you. And again, no one wants to have those types of things happen to them. So you would, this would be a deterrent. It would actually prevent some of these things from happening. If a man strikes the eye of his male and female servant, we talked about that, how the servant would actually go free. We talked about in verse 28, if an ox scores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall certainly be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. So here you have, first of all, the owner of the animal loses the animal, doesn't benefit from the loss of the animal. He can't eat the animal. He can't enjoy the animal. So there are consequences for him. But this is the case when the owner doesn't know that the ox maybe has never gored in the past. But if the ox, as you go on, if the ox has tended to gore with its horns in the past and the owner failed to keep the ox pinned up, then what would happen is the owner would actually be put to death. With the exception, we saw that with murder that you could actually that you wouldn't have a bribe, you wouldn't be the person that committed the murder wouldn't be able to pay money and get out of it. But here in this case, there was an option where the person who actually the family of the person who was killed could actually request money, some sort of compensation. You know, if this is the father of the house that has been killed, well, you know, that amount of money could be equal to the rest of his life's earnings, because that family is going to need to be protected and provided for. Well, that family might, you know, that person that had actually killed the person would be probably willing, very willing to make whatever financial promises and fulfill those promises to avoid being put to death. You see in verse 34, if a man opens a pit or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. So you see, there's personal responsibility here. You're responsible even if you do something on your own property and someone else or even an animal gets injured. You're responsible for what you do. The owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to the owner, but the dead animal should be his. If one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. So again, you see personal responsibility and you see restitution being made. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past, the owner has not kept it confined. He shall surely pay ox for ox. The dead man's animal shall be his own. So one of the things that we see, though, in the Bible, or one of the things that we don't see in the Bible, if you look at a lot of the laws that are on the books, a lot of the laws that have people in jail, you're not going to actually find those in the Bible. There are many crimes that we have in our society today that actually should not be crimes. And there are many people in jail today in America, or in prison today, that never should have been arrested in the first place. And if you're not sure what those are, I would encourage you, read the Bible and measure our law book against what the Word of God says. What types of things should be illegal? Typically, what you're looking at is and certainly there were ceremonial laws where, you know, they had to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. And we're not talking, when we talk about the law of God here, we're not talking about that. We don't need to sacrifice the blood of bulls or sheep anymore for our sacrifice, for our sins. We don't need to sacrifice the blood of a goat anymore. Jesus Christ has paid that price for us. But what we're talking about is the moral law here. We're talking about the commandments of God, and we're talking about protecting and applying those not only to our lives, but also to our families, to our churches, to our cities, our states, and our nation. And so look at the Word of God and study it and apply it, again, not only to your life, but also to all of society, to every area of life. The Word of God is applicable, and we need to be students. You should be reading the Word of God at minimum every year. Once every year, you should go through the entire Word of God. This is something Jesus said we're supposed to abide in His Word. And look not only at His Word, but look at how you should apply it to your life, to your family, to your church, to your city, your state, and your nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Like we waited for a lifetime just to be standing in this place. We both were praying for the right one. I know my search has ended. By the look on your face, and there's more to love than just this feeling. A promise is more than words can. saved.